Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear just the first portion of our gospel lesson again, John chapter 14. Then Jesus told him, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, "Come, because everything is now ready." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear invited and fellow redeemed. An invitation to a banquet, a great feast, is extended. And so what is the nature of this feast? Well, we find the answer to that in our Old Testament lesson for today in Isaiah chapter 25. There we are told that the feast consists of the best of meals, including the most expensive and well-aged wine and the prime cut of choice meat. If ever I go to a nicer restaurant, these are the two things I desire most: fine red wine and the most delicious medium rare steak or prime rib. But rarely do I order them because they are too expensive. And if I ever do partake of them, it's because I usually have a gift card. Isaiah 25 also explains this banquet includes not only a great meal, but also a place where the burial shroud and death itself are swallowed up. Someone has swallowed them. It's kind of a strange statement. So look at it this way. There's a vile poison in front of you that you are supposed to drink. But all of a sudden, your brother snatches the vial of poison and drinks it himself. So the poison meant for you is gone. It is swallowed up. And you might be tempted to say, "Hey, that was supposed to be mine." But then you realize, no, this is the most amazing thing ever, even though it cost my brother. Someone has swallowed up your burial shroud and your death. Today we might say somebody has swallowed up your coffin and your death. Someone has swallowed them up. So, for those who come to this banquet, there are no burial shrouds, there are no coffins, there are no funerals. That's because there's no death. At this delicious banquet, where there is no death, there is no talk of having to pay. This feast, we're told in Isaiah 25, is prepared by the Lord of armies. As Jesus says in our gospel lesson, everything is now ready. Or as he said on the cross, it is finished. All one has to do is say yes to the invitation. For there on the cross, the payment was made. The payment by which sins are forgiven, by which death is swallowed up, and by which eternal life is made accessible. The payment was the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of the Son of God himself. Heaven is paid for by Christ alone. It is a pure 100% gift. And then the invitation to partake of this gift, this banquet, goes out. And according to our text, according to Jesus, it goes out to three different groups with three different messages. So the first group, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent a servant to tell those who were invited, "Come, because everything is now ready." But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I just got married, and therefore I am unable to come. So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. And then the master got angry, and understandably so. Who in their right mind would say no to such an invitation? What kind of valid excuses could there be? There are none. Jesus is referring not only to the Jews of his day, but there's also a clear application for all people of every age. The excuse is given, both then and now, for saying no to the gift of heaven, saying no to the best of feasts where there is no death and no tears, saying no to Christ and his work, are silly at best. You don't know if this land you purchase can produce crops and you're just going out there to find out now? You spent all this money on oxen to plow your fields and you don't even know if they can do the job? Okay, you got married, but what does this have to do with the invitation? Again, the excuses people come up with to say no to eternal life in Christ Jesus are silly at best. But more accurately, they are hollow, empty, insincere, dishonest, and reveal a heart that simply rejects what they need most, rejects Christ and his work, rejects the most amazing free gift ever. Their excuses are an appeal to temporary things, to things that may be new and exciting, to things that even may be important for this life, but are actually used to reject the invitation of the gracious and merciful Master. So Jesus is warning us here. We say yes to the invitation through repentance and faith in Christ. We nurture that faith in Christ by coming to church, or by having church come to you if you cannot make it here. For it is here that we receive grace in word and sacrament. And it is that grace that sustains and strengthens true faith in Christ, by which we say yes to the invitation. So, if our rest, if our leisure, our car, our property, our home, our job, our sports, our hobbies, or even our marriage and marriages and families begin to supplant or replace giving attention to and receiving God's mercy in word and sacraments, that's not good. It's extremely dangerous and frightening. No, I can't come to church. I have to do this or that. These other things need my time and attention. So we're missing somebody here today who's usually here. And our dear sister, you know, the sacrifices she would make to be here because she understood how important it is, and now she just can't. And that's, you know, there is a valid excuse. So God bless her. Church will now come to her. Again, consider the enormity of this banquet, the amazement and the absolute mercy of this banquet, the best of feasts, the place where there is no death and no tears, no excuses. Group number 2. Then in anger, the master of the household told his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, maimed, blind, and lame. Master, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. Now, Jesus mentions this group for our comfort. Those invited to typical banquets would normally be the more important and prestigious and wealthy, those who could impress or even somehow pay back the host. But that is not the case with this eternal banquet. The invitation goes out to the poor, maimed, blind, and lame, spiritually speaking. To those who would not say, when thinking about eternal life, the pleasures and the joys and the riches, the rewards, the eternity of the heavenly banquet are beyond my grasp. I do not belong there, and neither in my wildest imagination could I now think that I deserve them, for I am a sinner. I am way too spiritually poor and maimed and blind and lame. And yet these are the very ones to whom this invitation is extended. It is why Jesus said earlier, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The Christian church, both here and in heaven, is not made of self-righteous and well-deserved people. It is made up of real sinners, forgiven sinners because of the finished work of Christ, sinners who say, I am spiritually poor. I do not deserve forgiveness, let alone heaven. But sinners who see Christ, who on the cross swallowed up death for them. And sinners who say yes to the invitation and the feast that follows. There's always room for sinners. In fact, we could say there's only room for sinners. Group three. Then the master told the servant, go into the highways and hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. The message here mainly is one of mission. Since there is still room, and since the master of the banquet, who is Christ himself, wants his house to be filled, he directs the servant, and the servant is the Christian church, he directs the servant to get the invitation out to the highways and hedges. In other words, get out of town with the invitation to repent and believe and be saved. Go beyond your borders, leave your comfort zone, and do not quit until the invitation is extended everywhere and to every person. And so this is why we sponsor mission work at home and abroad. And this is why we always need to work at evangelism. It is all too easy to remain within our comfort zone, to be afraid, to forget that our neighbor may be on the path to hell, to fear we might say something wrong or whatever. Notice the master in the parable says, make them come in, or urge them, or compel them to come in. And here I'm reminded of the work of the early church. In the book of Acts, there are many attempts by Paul and others to convince and persuade others to become Christians. And Paul was in prison. He appeared before King Agrippa, talked to King Agrippa about Christ. And King Agrippa said to him, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? And Paul basically said, yes, I hope I can. And everyone else I speak to, he talked to them as if their eternal life depended on whether they believed in Christ and accepted the invitation. And Paul was right. And this should be our mindset as well. This needs to be how we view our neighbors. those overseas and those next door. Those we might meet only once, and those who are close family. Our neighbor needs to be lovingly told that he, like us, is spiritually poor, lame, blind, and maimed. He needs to have explained to him the finished work of Christ. He needs to have the invitation extended to him by someone, maybe you. In the book of Revelation, it's recorded, "Worthy are you, O Lamb, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom." So this is the banquet. Everything is now ready. Who is the banquet for? It's for you. It is yours. It is a gift. It doesn't cost you a penny, but it costs the Son of God everything. Who is this banquet for? It is for our neighbor. And let us pray that we always say yes to the invitation. Let us pray that our neighbor would say yes as well. And let us pray that God gives us the needed love and boldness to extend to our neighbor this invitation. Amen.